Okay, everybody said another day or two. Let's just get a little bit of an appreciation of what we have here in this incredible Mizmor. Okay, the Mizmorim that we actually say in Davening are really, you know, more potent because we come across them much more often, and it's word that we should really appreciate a little bit what we say. Okay, so let's today start by taking a look at a couple of things that we selected. Let's just start with a little bit of overview. Just the words, how he says is very nice on, page 432. We have here in the Malbim. Just gonna jump around. We're gonna select different things. Ah, oh, Tamari is here. No, Tamari is here not today. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehyeh Be'ro. Okay, let's start. We're on page 432. 432, look at the Malbim. Malbim Pasuk Aleph. This is just a general overview. We already spent a lot of time with this. Kalman, Baruch Hashem, here, Kalman. I was getting worried about you. Didn't see you yesterday.
No. I'm leaving to Israel on Monday.
Okay.
So I have to
do this. Hachonis. You have?
A few manot and so
forth. Okay, good. Baruch Hashem, good. You're making Aliyah. Yiming Aliyah, and Oisik in the mitzvah of Aliyah le'Eretz Yisrael. That means Aliyah is going to visit. Every time you go to visit, it's a kiyum, a mitzvah. The chazak dem Oisah. Okay, let's learn. Over here it says on page 432 of the Malbim, Lamatzeach. I just want to review some things. Lamatzeach, 432, Malbim, towards the bottom of the page, where it says, Tefilois David l'ham Malbim. Lamatzeach techachas Musar. This mizmor is a teichachas mosor el habaitchem ve'osham ve'oivdim eskufam ve'admosim. Those who have confidence in their wealth, ve'oivdim, they serve. They serve their bodies, ve'admosim, and their land. Uma'avidim. What does that word mean? It's another word of serving. Uma'abdim, and they destroy esnafsham. No, ma'avidim. What does ma'avidim mean? I guess destroy. Yeah. Okay, ma'avidim u'ma'abdim. With an ayin and an aleph. So what's I'm not familiar with this. What's u'ma'avidim with an ayin?
They lose and destroy.
I don't know. That's an aleph. Obviously, I'm ignorant here. U'ma'avidim u'ma'abdim. Okay, the two words here which mean they destroy. They destroy es nafsham v'nishmosam.
Is that destroy and lose, yeah.
Okay, ma'avidim is to lose?
Right.
Okay, they lose.
Enslave their soul.
Oh, they enslave. I think that's what they're enslaving their neshama. Very good. Ma'avidim means they enslave it. They worship, they serve their body, and they enslave their neshama. Excellent. You see those kedai now to have appreciation. The reason, you know, we did this already 3 days already discussing these concepts, but the words of the Malbim has a koyach of ksiva. Right. The Malbim was, there's not that many people in this world that are blessed with the ability to write. Writing is an art. It's a talent, it's a gift. You see right away, there are certain writers that just have a tremendous koyach in the eloquence. It's just an incredible thing. And the Malbim, there are two people that I'm very big fans of. Who I'm really blown away with their koyach of writing, and they are Chofetz Chaim, the Mishnah Berurah. I don't think people appreciate what an incredible writer he was. The Chofetz Chaim had a koyach of writing. After you get spoiled, you learn Mishnah Berurah, you know everything makes sense and it's so easy to read, and it jumps out of the page. And then when you try looking at something more modern or some other svarim from other people who write halacha. It doesn't go so well. Why doesn't it go so well? Because it's not just the knowledge, it's the talent, the gift of writing. The Chofetz Chaim, an incredible, besides all of his other million talents, he had an incredible koyach of writing. And you know who else I'm a very big fan of is the Bar Tanura. The Bar Tanura also is phenomenal. Phenomenal. The Rav on the Mishnayis. Today, you know, we used to spend so much time on Kahati. It's very good. And then you have now, there's so many different things that have come out of Mishnayis. The article, the latest. The article put out, you know, also recently a new, very beautiful Bayer on Mishnayis. But I'm telling you, The best of them all is the Rav.
Yeah, I find it when sometimes I read the Kati and I don't understand something.
You read the Rav, right?
And it's clearer. It's very funny.
The Rav is amazing. The Bar Tanura, the Rav Mi Bar Tanura, the Perush on the Mishnah is magnificent.
Well, and Rav said his purpose in writing his Perush was too many times in the Mishnah is Rashi says the time of Mepharish lay, and for people who are just learning Mishnah, that doesn't help.
Exactly. Yeah. He has a certain kach. The Malbim in more modern times, he's renowned with eloquence. And here, this paragraph over here, it's a short paragraph, but the way he writes in this paragraph really says it all. One more time. Toichachas Musar El Haboitchem Be'osham. It is a open rebuke to the people who have confidence in their wealth. Ve'oivdim es gufam ve'admasam. And they worship. They have confidence in their wealth, and they worship. They serve as slaves their bodies and their land, and in the process, umaavidim, they enslave, umeabdim, and they destroy es nafsham v'nishmasam, their neshama. Two words which mean the same thing over here, obviously, but it's poetic expression. Mare al pneim sichlusam. You look at their faces. When you look at their face, you can see on there, it's written all over their faces, their foolishness. Ki yachalifu. The fool says to the whole world that he's a fool. Excellent.
I'm stupid.
Ki yachalifu ho'olam ho'oimeid bo'oiveid. They exchange the world that stands forever, referring to olam haba, with the oiveid, with this world that is going to ultimately be destroyed. They exchanged haruchani bagashmi. They exchanged the olam haruchni, the ruchnius, in exchange for the gashmius. Hanikle, they exchanged what is nikle, which is lowly. This world is lowly. Banichbod, with what is honored. V'chinim shlu kabehemos nidm, when they're compared to animals. This is a short, nice paragraph which summarizes the entire mizmar in this eloquent expression. You hang this up on every building, every fancy building. You pay $100 million. This is.
Mean all those to be do destroyed. That.
To be destroyed eventually.
It doesn't mean all people like that.
As we said 100 times, it's all about attitude. 100 times, obviously, Hashem gave us this world to enjoy it, to build it, to establish it, and to use everything at our disposal to make it as magnificent and as beautiful as possible and enjoy. Chazal say a person will be taken to task. Why he did not enjoy this world. If a person has an opportunity to see the world, to enjoy the world, to benefit, and he chooses not to, he will have to give a din v'cheshbon. Hashem gave a person olam hazeh to enjoy it. To enjoy it and to use it as a stepping stone, as a tool to serve Hashem. And if a person decides to fail in that, he is punishment. That's what Chazal say. So obviously, but we have all these psukim that tell you, don't do these things. As we said so many times, it's nothing more than attitude. Okay, let's go now to I want to do a little bit of the Targum. Okay, just a little bit of the time, a little bit of flavor of the Targum. The time will be a pasuk of Lishabocha al Yidehoin Dibnei Karach Tush Bachna, pasuk Aleph, this Mizmar, Shemohu Achavesa Da Kol Amamaya. Okay, listen, Achavesa, listen to Achavesa means, I'm not even sure what that means. I wrote down the translation, but I have the translation here, because I have it on my phone. I took a picture. Okay, the declaration. I think it means a declaration. Well, declaration. I wrote down the translation in my other Tehillim, and I took a picture of it because I can't carry around such a heavy book wherever I go. Okay, so listen, Shemo'u Achavesa Do. Listen to this declaration. This is the Declaration of Independence. When you understand that you're not a slave to the Gashmias, then you're independent. Mizmar Memtes, when you go to a Beis Ovel, what do you do at the Mizmar? They should give an announcement. Rabbi Isai, now that we finish, we're now going to read the Mizmar. Which Mizmar? Whoa, which Mizmar? The Declaration of Independence. Why is that? Why is this Mizmar called the Declaration of Independence? Because when you know that, when you know that Gashmius is going to the evil of Gashmius, of if it overtakes you, you will become a slave.
Enslaves.
It will enslave you. It will destroy you. And we hereby declare our independence from the Olam HaGashmi. And the person who has left this world and died is a tangible mussar to us that, look, this person who passed away, he didn't take with him anything. He did not take with him any of the Gashmias. So just like he is now independent from the Gashmias, likewise we should learn from him in our lifetime to be independent of Gashmias. So in essence, this Mizmar is the Declaration of Independence. How do you know that? Because this word here, Acha Vesa, in the translation I've come across, I used to prepare a little bit for the shiur, it translates the word Acha Vesa as a declaration. Listen, and does not say this word in the pasuk. This word has been added by the Mitargim in the translation. Listen to Acha Vesa Do. Listen to this declaration.
That's the Zeus.
Do does this.
Oh,
but the pasuk doesn't say. The pasuk doesn't say.
Zeus. What is this?
Do. I would assume the word Zo. The translation of the word Zeus is Do. Do is Zeus. So where then did the word Acha Vesa get into the picture here? Well, that's what the Targum does. I don't know who this Targum is. This is a very, very. We have to.
Zeus and then two dots. The following is what we're declaring, is what we're
saying. Right, so what are we declaring? So he's just embellishing the translation. The Targum here is embellishing the words of the Pasuk. The Pasuk does, that's very common. The Targum always, even Unkelus very often does that. We learned in the afternoon, the Unkelus very often adds words into the Pasuk that it does not say.
Elucidates.
Now, the only thing that just a little bit disturbed, because I don't know, I'm too lazy to find out, is exactly who wrote this Targum. This Targum on Tehillim is not Unkelus, it's not Yonasan ben Uziel. Who is it? They call it Targum Yosef. There was a person by the name of Yosef, a very holy person, who translated Kisuvim. It's called by some of the commentators Targum Yosef. Whoever this person was, he's obviously holy beyond belief, but it's not on the level of Unkelus and not on the level of Yonasan ben Uziel. But obviously the fact that he's accepted in Klal Yisrael, it's part of the Mesorah, and every single Mekoros Gedolos has his Targum, obviously indicates that this is serious business over here. Interesting, Rashi will never quote in Tehillim, never quote a Targum from Tehillim. Rashi has a very lengthy commentary. He'll never ever quote the Targum. In Chumash, Rashi Kiseder, you can almost hardly pass a Rashi that doesn't say Kitargumoy. And he mentions what Targum says and elaborates. But in Tehillim, Rashi never ever mentions Targum because this is not Targum. I'm not so sure it came after. Maybe think Targum came after Rashi. I really don't know. Okay, we have to research who the person is. So therefore, even though we study Targum, we read a lot of what it says, we have to appreciate that the Targum is also a commentator. It's not Misinai. It doesn't have the same level of Targum Yonasan ben Uziel and Targum Unkelus. Yet nevertheless, the things that he says are really, really powerful. And here, right away, right off the bat, when you begin this Mizmar, just this word alone is an eye-opener. Listen to the following declaration. Everything here is a declaration, and we're coming to attack those people whose attitude is that the only thing in this world is money. Look, Beis Avel. Look at the dead. What did he take with him? Where'd all the money go? Listen to this declaration. Who? Call Amemaya. Atzisu means to listen carefully, hearken. Kol di. I'm reading the Targum. I'm reading the Targum, page 432. Just a few psukim, because I end up preparing more than a few psukim.
There is something which say chiviti et dati. It's in Hebrew.
Yeah.
I will tell you my impression.
Your expression.
My impression. Why? What I think about something. It's lechavot et dati. We say lechavet vav a. It's a Hebrew word.
Okay. Lechavet, like lechavedas, chavedas. L'chavadas. Okay, let's go further. Af b'nei Adam kadmo'o im b'noi. Now here he starts adding over here an interpretation. This actually says something mufarshim over here. Who shall listen? So we said before, gam b'nei Adam. Who's Adam? Af b'nei Adam kadmo'o. Adam kadmo means the Adam Arishain. The children, when it says over here the word Adam, on a simple level, when it says the word Adam, what does Adam mean? Adam means mankind. Every person living here in the 21st century, listen up. I have something to tell you over here. No, that's not what the Targum says. The Targum says when it says here the word Adam, this principle applies to Adam Harishain. And to elaborate, the Mefarshim explain, let's listen to the Mamloes. He brings down, I can't remember all the Mefarshim, the sources. Who's the Adam? Who is the first man? Adam, who's the first children? Cain and Hevel. What did Cain do? He murdered Hevel. What are they fighting about? What was Cain and Hevel fighting about? Shul Mikra. Money. Money. They were fighting about money. Who will inherit the world? The world was not big enough for both of them.
No, he was jealous of
the sister. You're telling another shot.
His carbon was accepted.
Okay, the Shul Mikra, you're right. Shul Mikra is the carbon. He was jealous. He's saying, you have to go, Ein Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshutai. They both brought korbanos. Hashem rejected the carbon of Cain. Hashem accepted the carbon of Hevel. There was jealousy. They didn't get attention, and Hashem did not accept it, so therefore he killed them. That's Pshutai Shal Mikra.
He got killed.
Now, what else? Or you'll say, other Midrashim is that they were fighting over a woman.
Oh,
okay, just turn on the radio. Turn on the radio. 10-10 wins every 10 seconds. Boyfriend shot this guy, the girlfriend.
It's always
about the boyfriend shooting the girlfriend, the girlfriend shooting the boyfriend. Okay, it's nothing new. This is what happened. Cain and Hevel. Chazal said there was a twin sister. There was an extra twin sister born with the Medrash. Everyone knows the Medrash. Each one was born with a twin sister. Well, one of them was born with an extra. I don't remember the old details. There were three women. So each one got one, and then there was an extra one. Who's going to get double portion? Who's going to get the extra woman? They were fighting. That was the underlying rivalry which contributed to Cain killing Hevel. In other words, if they weren't fighting, if there wasn't another sister, then when Hashem accepted the carbon of Hevel and rejected the carbon of Cain, Cain would not have gone out of control and killed Hevel. There was something else that was bothering Cain, which triggered a violent reaction. It was just the last straw that broke the camel's back. If there wasn't a rivalry between Cain and Hevel over the extra sister, then Cain would not have killed Hevel when Hashem rejected his carbon. And then there's a medrash. I think it's cited over here on the page. Maybe not. I don't think so. Somewhere else. And it says Beferish is there were the underlying rivalry between them was money.
Money,
because they're the only Yarshim. Here's Adam Arishain. Adam's not going to live forever. He ate from the Eitz Hadas. He's a goner. So soon he's going to die. And who is going to be Yoyresh the world? Who's going to control America? Who's going to control Africa, Europe? Okay, the Soviet Union. Who's going to control the little continents? The continents and the seas. Who's going to control the Atlantic, the Pacific? Who's going to get all these the resources of the world? So you're going to take 50% of the world? 50% of the world? I want the whole world. Mi sheyesh loy moneh, roitze mosayim. North America is not enough. North America is not enough. I always ring, you know, eschato ay ani maskir hayayim. I once remember, I saw Superman. Many years ago, many moons ago, I saw the movie Superman. And there were these three villains, Zod. I know these three. These villains, and they came to the world from aliens. The aliens, and they came to the world to take over the world, and Lux Luthor, that's his name, Lux Luthor? Lex Luthor. I'm forgetting. Lex Luthor came, and he told Zod, he told him, I'll tell you how to conquer Superman, but I want tonight. I want a Chelik also. I want Australia. Right. I want Australia. You can have North America. Lex Luthor, I want Australia. It's a good deal. This is nothing new. This is Cain and Hevel. This is Zel Bazach. It's Cain and Hevel. Cain and Hevel, they're fighting over the whole world. Okay, they're fighting. They're fighting over the whole world. And Cain killed Hevel. So that's what it says here, according to the Targum. Gam b'nei Adam. Adam harishon's children. This whole mizmar is about money. And there was an underlying rivalry of who, jealousy of who's going to get all the money, all the resources of this world. So this applies, this is nothing new, this applies Gam b'nei Adam. Who's the Adam? Targum. Targum says, Af b'nei Adam kadmo'o. Doesn't say that word in the Pasuk. Targum is giving you a parish. Kadma means the first man. Adam Harishon. He had two children, Cain and Hevel, and they killed each other. Cain killed Hevel for the money. Oh, but Rav Mordechai said they killed each other for the carbon. That was just the straw that broke the camel's back. If it wasn't because of their prior rivalry over money, then and if Hashem would have Hashem rejected Cain's carbon, all right, big deal. He wouldn't have gotten him so upset that he would kill Hevel. There was something else bothering the person. There's always a yesod in life. When someone behaves in a violent way, what's really bothering him? What you see someone in shul, someone starts talking during davening. So the people, they get, go meshuggah. You see sometimes they go, you really care? You really care that he's talking during davening? He's really disturbing you? There's something that's bothering you. Something in your personal life that's really, really bothering you. And this is just a spark, an event that caused you to get out of control. So Cain and Hevel, Rav Mordechai is right. It says in the Pasuk, because Hashem rejected the carbon of Cain. But was that really enough? He was so religious that that's what provoked him to kill his brother? Chazal say no. Chazal were psychologists. There were other things underneath the hood that were really bothering him. There was rivalry about a woman, an extra sister, about this, asses of the world. And that was the spark. This carbon religion was just a spark which they use as an excuse to go and do what they want to do. Look, Chazal say when it comes to the Egel, what was the Egel all about? The Klal Yisrael really want to worship the Egel. 40 days later, Hashem gives them the Torah, does all these incredible things. Do they really want to worship the Egel? We don't understand because they had a tremendous Yetzar, which we don't have today, to go worship. Chazal say no, it wasn't really about, they didn't really care so much about that. They want to bow down to a golden calf? Really? You want to go bow down? Who has a taiva? Okay, we know they had a taiva, but really? Chazal say no, that's not really what it was about. There was something underneath the hood. They were very angry why they were not allowed to be noshim, arayos. When the Torah was given, you're not allowed to marry this, you're not allowed to marry this woman, you're not allowed to marry that woman, and many men had to divorce their wives because they were married in sin. They were married to Noshim that the Torah prohibits. So they had to get divorced, and or maybe they had in mind to marry certain people they want to, and their opportunities for women were severely limited, and this bothered them to no end. And now when they saw the Egel has Egel, oh, you really want to bow down to the Egel? A little bit, yeah, you can't say not. But it wasn't the only thing. It was an excuse to rebel against Hashem and then go back to their old ways and engage in arayos. Chazal say this explicitly. The only reason why they worshipped Avodah Zarah was in order to create a whole new religion where they can permit the violation, the arayos, all of the arayos that were usher will now become mutter.
Background on our mikvah, who lo sone lo mitmolshul show. I mean, did you have an agenda why you killed him?
Exactly. So it's really amazing. Everything that you see is not what you see. Torah acknowledges this. Whatever you see happening is not really what's really going on. It's just a facade. Underneath the hood, there's something else going on, and people are making excuses. They're using different things in this world in order, because they have another agenda. It's in the Torah. Cain killing Hevel is not only about religion. It's about noshim and money. Chazal. The Egel wasn't just about religion. The Egel was about noshim, about women, a taiva for noshim, something which we could relate to. We could understand. We could already give an understanding. You don't need a little bit of more of an understanding. And that's a Muslim. That's what's in the Torah. Can you imagine today? What is the war in Ukraine and Russia all about? One thing is for sure. It's not about anything idealistic. Okay? That's for sure. There's a lot going on over there that we don't know, or we do know, or we don't want to know. And this thing has nothing to do with, freedom and this and that. There's something more going on. If in the Torah it's like that, if in Kain and Hevel, Chazal are telling us that it's not because of religion, it's because there's money and women are involved. That's the underlying force that is causing people to behave in this irrational way. So, what do you think, that today it's any different? Today, Niskan and Adaris, things are different? Okay, now next. The next words are, after we have over here Adam, we have Gam B'nai Ish. Who's the Ish? Who is the Ish? Af B'nai D'Yakov. Look at the Targum. The Ish here is V'Yakov Ish. Tom. Yoshev Oyholim. Who? What happened with Yaakov? Who tried to kill who? Mechiras Yosef. Mechiras Yosef. So what is he saying over here? There was a rivalry amongst Gam B'nai Ish, of Yaakov's children. Where do we find money? Mabetza. When they if they really believe that Yosef was an existential threat to Klal Yisrael, they would have killed him. What got in the way of them not killing him? Money. Mabetza. Where's the money? Look, here we go. We have a Bezdin. We sit down at a Bezdin.
They didn't want to kill him.
So why didn't they? Why didn't they? If they would have killed Yosef, would we be today better off? It's a terrible avera to kill your brother. No question about it. Chazal tell us the Asar Rogi Malchus because of Mechiras Yosef. They go on to town. The blood libels. The whole Chorban. Everything revolves around two things. The Chedo Egel, which is really, it's three things. The Chedo Egel, the Meraglim, and Mechiras Yosef. You look in the big books, everything that goes on in this world is just payback for those three things. Okay, Chedo Egel, Meraglim, and Mechiras Yosef. All comes back to that. What would have been if they would have killed Yosef, like they originally planned?
Would it have been worse?
Would it have been worse? Not so simple to say it would have been worse. Why did they had a very good cheshbon.
They would have had to drag Yaakov down in chains.
Hashem harbei shluchim l'mokam. We have no idea. That's not how things would have played out. They made a cheshbon that Yosef is an existential threat to Klal Yisrael. They sat as a bezdin. They had rayos berurois that they were correct. These are the shiftei kol. We're dealing with the holy of the holy. We're not dealing over here with what we see out in the street. We're dealing with the holy of the holy. They had a cheshbon. If their cheshbon was really correct, why didn't they tackle go and kill him? Why didn't they execute him? There's a din of zokin mamre. A zokin mamre you're supposed to kill. The Torah sanctions such a thing. A zokin mamre, this person is rebelling. He's telling us that we should come bow down to him. He has dreams of grandeur. We should bow down to him. He's a moiser. He told our father that we eat Eivim and Achai. We mezalzel the B'nei HaShvachos. He's a moiser. A moiser is Chayiv Misa. The Rambam goes to town. A moiser, you go today. There's all the big discussion. You got to go call the police. Someone commits a crime today. You call 911. So is it really so posh to call 911 today? You call 911 today? Okay. Obviously, we do it. Nothing to talk about. But it's not so partial. The brothers had a lot of good cheshbonis. If the cheshbonis were really true, what held them back from killing him? What held them back? Why? And the ugliness, oh, you know what? We might as well make some money. My betza, where's the money? Where's the money? We'll sell him new shoes. Go to Zappos.com. We'll buy a new, we'll get some new shoes. What?
When was he sold?
He was sold on the spot.
No, what month?
I don't know. I don't know what month.
I mean, in Pashtun Pashtus, he was an existential threat, they determined. So why should they kill him if they sell him to Mitzrayim?
Did you ever see The Terminator?
He's no longer.
Did you ever see The Terminator? That's another movie I once saw. The Terminator? Okay, as long as he's alive,
I will be back.
He will be back. If you want to do the job, you do the job right. Yeah? It's true. It's true. Yeah.
Not to make references.
That's
to
my bad.
If
so
you
want
to go places, make sure you never mention TV or movies in your speeches.
All right, don't worry about it. I'm already done. All right, no. So then if they want to keep him alive, Rabbi Mordechai, if you want to keep him alive, so give him away for free. Once you're taking money, you're no longer innocent. So give him away for free. Oh, here, the Yishmaelim coming. Here, take him. Or give the money to tzedakah.
A nickel,
even a nickel. There's no chilek gezel is osur.
You know, they say, give me something. They say,
you know, geya bidavar.
No,
you know, you take one penny, you know, geya bidavar. You take one penny, you already know geya bidavar. So metzias.
That's not the point I'm making. The point is that when you're dealing with these people, you don't say take here something for free. You have to make a deal. You
so
know?
Give the money away to the charity. Take the money. They said, my bets are, what's in it for us?
They said, what did they do with the money?
They bought shoes.
They bought shoes.
It's chazav. It's a pasek. Bavur nalayim.
Snuck begins at home.
This is not the way you do it. If this is when they came to Yerichai, when they came into Yerichai to conquer Eretz Yisrael, what did they do? There was a cherim. We're coming now to conquer. We're not coming to conquer Eretz Yisrael for the money. We're not here for the money. Why are we coming to Eretz Yisrael? Because it's the land of Kedusha. And therefore, the first city that we're going to conquer, we're not going to touch, make a statement that this is not about money. We're coming to Eretz Yisrael to conquer the land, l'shem Hashem, not for the money. And there was a cherem. And because Ochon took... Because Ochon took a garment, he took mamish a shmata, because he took a fancy coat, whatever he took, an aderes seyar from Bavel and a few dollars, Asniel ben Kenaz died, who was shakal kineged rubon shel Sanhedrin. Once you take money, you don't have clean hands. You take money, there's no clean hands. It's a very dangerous game. Very dangerous game. Look, when they accuse some of these politicians of taking money, you know, that's the end of their career. That's the end when there's a payback. That's not the way it goes.
If don't resign, they just keep going.
Okay, whatever. That's also corrupt. Over here, Yosef, I'm reading you the Tariq, I'm reading you the page. Over here, it says over here, Gam B'nei Ish. What are you talking about? We're learning a mizmar that's dealing with corruption, dealing with the chemdas hamamain, and how it can destroy a person. So the pshut shel mikros, it's a poetic expression, gam b'nei adam.
Listen, everybody, you know.
Listen up.
From A to Z,
right. Exactly.
To the
but that's not what the Targum says. But the Targum says, adam is adam harishain.
Right,
when it says ish, who's Adam? The son of Adam.
Right?
Who's the son of Adam harishain? Adam kadmos, Adam harishain. The first man. And who's the says not Adam, it says the B'nai Adam. Who are the B'nai Adam? Cain and Hevel. It says Gam B'nai Ish. Who's the Ish? The Yaakov Ish Tom. Targum says he's Yaakov. Who's his children? His Shifteka. What did the Shifteka say to Yosef about Yosef? Ma betza. It's all about money. They didn't do that. That's the guilt. The guilt of the Shifteka is not that they sold him. It's not they sold and now they did. Their guilt is they took money. It's profit.
Well, who was the one who suggested that they sell them?
Yehuda? Mabetza?
Yeah. Yehuda said it.
So what was his makshava? To get the money? Or so that they don't kill him?
So Rashi is Melamed Tzchus, and Rashi says that there's Leman Hashivoy Lo'aviv. No, that was Reuven. Reuven is Leman Hashivoy Lo'aviv.
Yeah.
I don't remember the details now. Yeah. Don't confuse me with the facts. But the point is, the bottom line is, it says it, they bought shoes.
It's the Malbim who says that it wasn't the brothers who sold them in the end. It was when it says, by they took them out of the pit, it was the Midyanim who took them out of the pit and they sold them to Yishmeelim.
I know, but look.
That's the Malbim.
The fact that it's the Haftarah.
That's why we think it is.
No, okay, the Mepharshim on the page of Mikros Gedolos, they don't say it. No one says it, come on. No one says it. Yet, the smoking gun, though, is the elephant in the room is what is the Haftarah? What is the Haftarah Parash Vayetze? What's the Parasha of I'm sorry. What am I saying? Vayesha. Koyamar Hashem al Shloisha Pisha Yeshov Yal Arbo Lo Yashivenu al Mikhram Bakesef Tzadik the Evyoin Ba'avur Na'aloyim. That's the takeaway of Parashas Vayeshev. Mechiras Yosef. They sold the tzaddik for a couple of bucks, and the evyoin Yosef was an onivyevim. They stripped him naked. Ba'avur na'aloyim. That's the smoking gun. That's the take. With that, the haftorah is the perish on the parasha. It's not the tie-in is not that you sold him. Listen, you could make a very very sound argument in court that Yosef was really an existential threat to Klal Yisrael. You can make a very sound argument. But if you really were the Shema, it would be like when they came into Eretz Yisrael, Yericho, no one touches a penny in this city. We're not coming here to conquer Eretz Yisrael for the oil. There is no oil. We're not coming to conquer the land for the money.
Well, that's really what's going on behind the scene, actually.
What?
A lot. We want the oil.
Okay. It's a big oil station with a lot of land. So therefore, that's what it means. Over here, next chiddush of the targum is gam yachad osher v'yev. Who's the osher? The targum says kachada zakoa. The osher is the tzaddik. Is the tzaddik.
Interesting. Also, the tzaddik should also.
The tzaddik is this, no one.
To this declaration.
Oh, no one is safe. No one is safe. And who's the Evyoin? The Evyoin is V'chayava. The Evyoin is the Russia. In other words, no one is safe from the Yetzirah, from the corruption of money. When it comes to money, no one is safe. Don't think that a person that's tzaddik is sitting alone the whole day, that a person waves a couple of dollars in front of you and says, hey, I'll give you a couple of bucks. Why don't you go and take a little bribe, and why don't you go and do this for me?
Yeah.
No one is safe.
See, the Shulam, I think, says also, Rubon Begezel, there are a lot of people.
Chulam Bavak Lashonara. There is no one that is safe from the Chemdas Hamamon, from the corruption that money, what money can do. It's an incredible targum. It's the declaration of independence, and the pasuk is addressing Cain and Hevel, the Shiftei Ka, the Tzadikim, and the Rishoim. No one is safe for money.
The
whole mizmor is about money.
Yeah, okay, we didn't get there yet.
But it's obvious. So you're saying this is a declaration. We're giving over here an announcement. There's a declaration being made. Kain Hevel, Shiftei Ka, Tzadik Rasha. No one is safe from the Nisoyin of money.
Where is the say money.
The whole mizmor is about, we spent the whole mizmor. We spent the whole mizmor. Okay, now. Let's go on to a couple of other things that we mentioned over here. This concept called the chulda. The chulda is, now we really, this, let's maybe look at the medrash. The chulda.
The weasel.
The weasel. Over here, we call the we talk about kol yoshvei choled, all of the inhabitants of atzis called yori ara. So in the Targum, we just translate simply as the people of the land. So we already discussed this. The word cholda comes from lashon of chaluda. Chaluda is rust. Okay, so we discussed. There are two things that we discussed about. We discussed.
We're on
page 432. We're on page 432. So we discussed the word, why is it called chaled? It's called chaled, so we discussed two reasons. Number one, a chaluda to rust, which is trying to tell us that this world is only temporary. This world is not going to be around forever. This world has a biological clock. And it's not going to, therefore, it's just like metal. At some point in time, it goes through this chemical transition, this chemical change, which weakens its integrity. This world, this will be a real field day for all the global warming people. Yoshvei Choled, that this world is ultimately going to rot, it's going to rust, and it's not going to be around. And therefore, a person should look at this world, that just like this world is not going to last forever, a person's money is not going to last forever. Then we mentioned the word Choled, another example of a word Choled. It describes the uniqueness of this world, because every creature that exists on dry land exists in the ocean. One exception. The one exception is the chulda. The chulda only exists on dry land. There is no equivalent. There is no parallel to this creature in the mimela. That means this is what gives it uniqueness. We're always trying to look for something unique, that there is no equivalent. Every single person is unique. No one can replace another person. Everyone has a uniqueness. So what is the uniqueness about land? Oh, look, on dry land, there's a creature which has no parallel in the yam. So let's use that as a mushal, as a handle to describe this earth. Now, it's not over here in the Mefarshim. I look at the Mamloiz. Mamloiz says, no, this is what we call chulda, because chulda has the mida of...
Choled.
So look in the Rashi. Rashi called hi ha'aretz, al shem shehi noishenes v'chaluda. Okay, chaluda. Also, you look in the Mitzudas David, it said in the Mitzudas Sion, choled, anshe hazman. He says temporary. I think we saw the Radak, where we touched the Radak, that the title is also, okay, whatever it is, the word, it comes from the word of chaluda, rust, and we learn, and the Medrash calls it a cholda, a weasel. We learned that in the Medrash, a cholda, the weasel, because again, it's what is unique. Now, there's another characteristic about the chaluda, which you learn in the Gemara, when the Gemara talks about, we mentioned this briefly about bedikas chametz, the chulda has a nature, it likes to store things.
What is the old French
have to go for, we did this in the past. Okay.
What does it say?
Rav Mordechai. We did this before. We have to go further. Okay. We have to go further. Okay. We have here the word. Okay. We have here the word choled. The word choled. Chazal said the word comes from the word chulda. A chulda has the nature of storage. It takes things and puts it away in storage forever. It is a mushal for the entire mizmar. Just like the nature of a weasel is to go out into the world and find some bread, find some piece of bread, and goes in and stores the mice or whatever, these weasels, they store things away. What are they storing things for? The weasels will never ever eat even a fraction of what they store or what they put away. So why is it working so hard? It's a mushal for us. Is don't be like that chulda. Here, when this mizmor is coming to address an illness of man, their pursuit, or at least we always say the attitude to pursue material gain, for who and for what? For who and for what? To work and work and work and work your entire life and stash away And then what happens to the holder? The holder dies. And then where is all the wealth? It's behind the wall. No one knows about it. No one ever sees it. It remains there in secret. And then one day when someone will knock down the wall, by that time it already rotted and decayed and no one even knew that it existed. So when we want here to address this issue of mankind pursuing material gain and storing things, wealth, forever and ever, never to enjoy the benefit of what they're working for without a calculation. It's a good thing to work very hard, and then you have some type of plan of how you're going to make use of it. Again, it's all a matter of attitude. In the society today, it doesn't really, it's a different type of world today, obviously, whatever, we all discussed that before. But in concept, in theory, in attitude, don't be like the chulda, where the whole goal is just to amass, to collect, to store, with no cheshbon, with no purpose of what is coming at the end. Okay, so that's the third point of chalud. Now let's move ahead to another idea. Okay, let's go read. Let's read the medrash on the. Let me find what I want to say. I look very quick. Let's look, read it actually inside. Pasuk Beis. We'll read it very quickly. Pasuk Beis on page 433. Page 433. On the bottom of the page, pasuk beis, hazinu kol yoshvei cholet. Turn our button. Kol sheyesh. We did that. Let's jump down. All right, I'll read it again very quickly. Kol sheyesh bayam chutz. Kol sheyesh bayabasha yesh bayam chutz min hachulda. She'ein kimoisa bayam. Amar bizera mikra hazinu kol yoshvei cholet. Our pasuk aritz nikrei cholet. Why is the earth called cholet? Al shema chulda. She'nimtzei srak bayabasha. Okay, next Gemara. Ksiv, I'm on the bottom of the page, on page 433, four lines after it gets wide in the Likutei Shas. Last word on the line. Ksiv, Shimu zois kol ha'amim hazinu kol yoshvei cholet, Rebbe Acha Omar Rabbi Avohu, V'Rabbonon. Chadam is machloikis between Rabbi Acha and the name Rabbi Avohu and the Rabbonon. Chadam one says, Lama hu moishol kol boya olam becholda, why does this pasuk compare all mankind to a chulda? Why? El lefisha kol ma sheyesh bayabasha yesh bayam, har beminim bayam, ma she'en ken bayabasha, ve'en chulda bayam. Okay, that same thing we said before. V'choyrono Omar, the other one, that's a word in Yerushalmi. Anyone here learning Yerushalmi? V'choron, v'choron means the other one, it's a Yerushalmi word. Lam hu moishel kol boilam b'chol. Why does this what we just mentioned saying, why does Hashem compare the entire world, we call the world yoshvei cholet, miloshon chulda, ela, ma ha-chulda hazois goreres u-manachas, it drags and puts away in storage, ve'eina yodas, lemi hi manachas, for who and for what? Kach likewise, hein kol boy ha'olam, goyrin umanichin, they're dragging money, they're dragging assets, they're putting away, the hoarding, exactly, ve'einon yoidin lemi hein manichin, and they have no idea for whom they're putting it away from. There's a famous story in the Gemara, when the person that one, it's probably was quoted over here somewhere, when one of the Amorayim, when he died, he left over like probably equivalent of 5 cents. He left over a nickel. He left over a nickel, and he said about himself, "Oh, I'm cursed. It was fulfilled in me." V'niach la'chedim, that one of the psukim over here, he left over for someone else their wealth. I worked hard for that 5 cents, and I did not have any benefit from it. It was a waste of time. The time that I spent working to earn that 5 cents, I could have spent enjoying myself with my grandchildren, or learning Torah, or davening, or whatever the person wanted to do, some other pursuit. But look, I wasted time and I left over 5 cents. Okay, obviously, this is not for today. Because today, if you're not going to leave over 5 cents, I don't have to explain to you. It's not the way the world works today. But it's a Musa Haskel nevertheless. Last words, Rabbi Michal, this is something that you love, this last Maim Chazal. This is right up your alley.
I think it's an
Asara Shemois Nikres Nikres, Eretz. The earth has 10 different terms. This is a very, you know, part of your series of all the tens. There are 10 different expressions for prophecy. There are 10 Asher Mamorois, the Aser Sadibrois. Obviously, the number 10 is a very significant term. There are 10 words: Adomo, Yabosha, Chareva, dry land, Tevel. Tevel means a mixture, like a mixture, like a spice. Tevel.
Wear itself out. The world wear Tevel.
Tevel, okay. Baal, very good, very good. Cheled, Arka, that's a new one for me, Arka.
Yeah.
And Reishis, Bereishis Bara Elokim. That's a new one, Bereishis. The world is called a Reishis. Gai is a valley. Soda field, Eretz. And then how do you know then the Gemara that goes on, Avos Rabbi Nosson, which is such a good thing, we should maybe learn this one day, Avos Rabbi Nosson. I would want to make a shir one day to learn to compare. This would be something, a dream for me, to make a shir to compare Mesechta Avos, Mishnah by Mishnah, to compare Avos with Avos to Rabbi Nosson. Avos Rabbi Nosson is amazing. And it's more amazing when you learn it, compare it side by side with Pirkei Avos. It's a parallel. What? Each one is a bayer on the other. It's an amazing thing to compare them side by side. Avos Rabbi Nosson together with Masechta Avos, and Chaled.
That's not the only place. I think it's
Chaled Shekol Ba'olam Cholden Ba. Everyone, now what does it mean with Cholden Ba? They turn into rust. Is that what it means? See, I don't even know what this means. Cholden Ba. It sounds like Moshe Rabbi Nosson. It means that everyone gets old. Everyone, the person begins.
Everyone hoards away a little bit. No, I'm not sure
that's what it means in here. What does it mean over here? I think Cholden Ba means is that when do people begin to die? When does the aging process begin?
When you're born.
Exactly. The moment you're born is just one. It's already on the way down.
The clock starts ticking.
Cholden Ba is they oxidize. The moment a person is born, he begins the process of turning into rust. Just like you have a fresh piece of metal that's not, well, today things don't, today they treat it as stainless steel, all these techniques today that it should not rust. We have the longevity center also. But naturally, metal rusts.
You do WD-40 every morning?
Instead of a... deodorant, right? You spritz them. Cholden Ba, Shnemer Hazin Kol Yoshvech. I think over here, what cholden means, the people they rust. People, the moment they the person that's what it says over here. Okay, so this is a nice chalke. Now let's go to a Malbum. Let's turn two pages down and we select the Mefarshim. Let's turn to a Malbum on page 435. 435, just to Lama Ira Bimeira. So we didn't really translate this very well. I'm sorry. The Radak. I made a mistake. Radak, page 435. The Radak. Okay, just to read the words. We already explained this, but maybe we didn't say it the way he said it. And when we said Lama Ira Bimeira, what am I afraid of Bimeira? Now I said Bimeira. I think we explained it in death. What is a person being afraid of after he leaves this world? What did you do already here? Did you murder anyone? Did you?
We'd like to, maybe.
Most people don't commit any major crime. So what are they worried? They're worried about the little things. They're worried about a little sinas chinam, a little about talking during davening, worried about, you know, didn't give enough tzedakah, cash, you know, what we think are small things.
Like taking a test in school, the man is who's marking the paper, how strict the purpose.
Okay, so what are you worried about? You're not worried about the big things. You're worried about the little things. So what did we learn? How did we teach the word bimei ra until now in the Mitzudas and Rashi? We refer to either death, or we refer to, let's say, at times of vulnerability. There are certain times in this world when there's a midas adin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging the world with a degree of severity, and then people are held accountable for small little things. So at the time of Bimei Ra, Lom Yor Bimei Ra, Avoin Akeva Yitzubeni, I'm worried about the Averois that a person steps on with the heel of his foot, meaning he does not take seriously. That's not what the Radak says. The Radak says that our entire existence in this world, in Olam Hazeh, is one big Bimei Ra. That's a pretty scary thing. Lama Ira Bimei Ra. Ata now, again, 435 Radak, Pasuk Vav, Ata now, Heichel B'divrei Mashal V'chida. We begin the Mashal, the proverb that he promised he's going to tell us. V'yama, Lama Ira V'edag. Why should I worry Bimei Ra Sheheim Yimeha Olam Hazeh? The Radak is novel in how he teaches this, because who dare say that life in this world is ra? That's a very daring thing to say, because we know we have our emuna is Hashem did not put us in this world to cause us to suffer. That's a very like Hashem, like a Christian right. Philosophy, ideology. Okay, Christians, you come into this world. We always say this: you're going straight to Gehenna. That's the default. The default is Gehenna. You have to redeem yourself. Redemption. This is the Gresta Apikorsis. Christianity has brought to this world the biggest chorban in the world with that horrific attitude in life. You come to this world, you go straight to Gehenna. How do you avoid Gehenna? You have to redeem yourself. Klal Yisrael Chazal say mamish the opposite. Kol Yisrael yesh lohem chelek lo'olam haba. And this is the biggest nechama that Rabbanim, they tell Rachmano Litzlan Lo Yoleinu, people who have children or miscarriages or, you know, these type of things where children, people leave this world very early. And they say, you should have nechama, is that the baby was only lived one day, but by doing so, that baby now has Olam Haba. The only way that neshama can have Olam Haba is by coming into this world. You brought a neshama to Olam Haba. You carried a neshama for 9 months, and the baby, let's say Rachman al-Son, I read some of these books, let's say a woman, Rachman al-Son, has a baby, a stillborn. Well, not a stillborn. The baby comes out and the baby dies right away. The baby lives for a day. How do you give neshama to a woman? How do you give neshama? I mean, it's just, you know, the hope. And the waiting, the 9 months, the whole mice, and a child dies after one day. How could you give a person nechama? It's impossible. But Rabbanim try. They try. And it's not a nechama. It's not a full nechama. But what are the things they say is they have to have emuna. Is that a neshama cannot go to Olam Haba unless it comes into this world. And by you being the enabler of this neshama to be here for one day, that neshama now goes to Olam Haba. You brought a neshama to Olam Haba. And that should be a neshama. You brought a neshama to Olam Haba. So Chazal say, call a person comes into this world, no matter what you do, as long as you don't mess up big, call Yisrael, yesh lohem chelek lo'olam haba. Mamish, the complete opposite of the apikorsis of Christianity. So to say what the Malbim says, Radak says, is a tremendous chiddush. It's a learned pshat in the pasuk that this world is one big Yimei Ra. Obviously, the Radak, you have to take the Radak in context. In context, and he's referring to the Nisyonos. The Nisyonos were surrounded by the Yetzirah, and we have incredible Nisyonos of it's very easy for us to get in a lot of trouble. So this, but he's calling. We didn't say, when we learned Rashi and the Mitzvot Nes Pasuk, we said Yimei Ra means death, the last day of life. Or it means moments in our lifetime when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is noyig in the veld of Midas Hadin. He doesn't say that, the Radak. The Radak says, from the time you're born until the time you die, all the good times when the sun is shining and everything is nice, it's called Yimei Ra. Let's see what he says. Ata hechel b'divrei mashal v'chidav yamal lo lama ira.
It's right also, like, you see, the Shalom says, call in yonei ha'olam, eino elin nisyanis v'yonam.
The whole world is one big Nisayan. It's true. V'amar lama ira ve'edag bimei ra shehem yimei ha'olam hazeh. Shocking, no?
Every day.
Kihem yimei ra l'chol ha'mesasek boy. Yeah, we're not mesasek boy. Every single person is a mesasek boy. Every person is oisik in the world. We struggle. You come into this world, there's no free lunch here. So he says, don't worry.
John, when you come into this world, don't have any daigas. Because this world in the sign is money. Why should I worry? I should only worry about the good things of this world. What do you mean? Didn't we just save money before? Obviously, he means to say money is not called from the good things in this world. Avoin, now what, how does he learn the end of the pasuk? Avoin, akeva yisubeni kiloimar. If he says the word kiloimar, it means fasten your seatbelts. Okay, it means we're not going to say, so we're going to go off on a you know, a difficult interpretation, kiloimar. Yikreni avoin bidarshi acher hatoivoy so'ilam hazeh. It's going to come to me. It's going to cause sin when I pursue the toivos of ha'olam hazeh. V'omar, let's read a little bit more. It's a little hard when you say v'omar. Akevai, kiloimar. L'soif ma'asai yimtsoeini ovoin. Akevai here means the end of my deeds. The goal. The goal or the achievement of my deeds will bring me sin. Again, kiloimar. Im esmach boy batachila lasoif edag. If I will rejoice in the pursuit of money for its own sake, then I will suffer at the end. So akevai means the end. If I fail from the very beginning to understand that this is not good, And I don't know that lesson, and I go down that path of pursuing money for its own sake, then akevai, when I get to the end, it's going to be very painful. It's going to be very painful.
I think he means something else. Akevai min lashon ekev. Ekev
tishmeu. No, but he's not saying that. Look, he goes on to explain. Look what he says. Read the next words. Look at the next words. Ulefi. Eked is another parish. Eked means if only. I know that's another parish. Look what he says over here. Ulefi yishe he okev hu soif kol haguf. Clearly says the word in this interpretation. The okev is the heel. Nikra soif kol davar okev. So we're using it as a metaphor. A metaphor means the end. It's just a poetic metaphor is the finish line. The finish line of life. Okay, so that's his first interpretation. That so how do we read the pasuk? Let's read the word. So lam ira b'mei ra. What should I worry about?
B'mei ra.
So it's a rhetorical question. Okay, the beginning of this parish. The beginning of this parish says lam ira b'mei ra. Let's go back. Just go back one moment. I'm going back up a few lines just to review what we learned. The lama edag al ha'oyisher v'alakinyan shem kavod olam hazeh. Kim edag al toivos olam hazeh. It's a rhetorical question. Why should I worry about lama ira? Why should I be? I want to take one step back. The word ira, as the Mitsudo said, is translated as worry. It does not mean afraid. Okay, that's a very important translation. Ira here means why should I worry about money in this world? Why should I worry? There's no need to, because money in and of itself is not the goal. And if I fail in that lesson, and I do worry about money in this world, then you have to add a lot of words into this pasuk to make sense of it, according to the Radak. Then, avoin akeva yisubeni, the sin, and I guess in this context he means the pain of disappointment, will surround me when I get into, when I reach the finish line. When I'm on my deathbed at 120 years old, I will be surrounded, my mind will be swimming in grief, in agmas nefesh, for the life that I lived. Because I failed from the very beginning to understand that this is not the goal. So again, according to the Radak, the word ira does not mean afraid. Ira means simply worry, be concerned, and the context, the subject is money. That hovers over the entire mizvah from beginning to end, and it's telling us, why should I worry about money in this world? It's not the goal. It's not the goal to be super duper rich. That's not the goal. And if we have to add words into the pasuk, if I fail to understand that principle, then you know what's going to happen to me? When I reach the akev, when I reach the finish line, the end of life, I will be in a state of disappointment. Ovay means sin, but sin means, in this context, means disappointment. Okay, that's parish number one. Then he goes to parish number two. O yiye parish akevai ho'olam habo. Okay, akevai, according to the second interpretation, does not mean the moment of death, but it means the next world. Also, the same idea, akev means the end. But what is the end? The end is what comes after this world, the next world. Shu'olam ha'socher ve'oynish. V'ha'socher ve'oynish b'soif ha'maseh. Comes at the very, very end. V'roitzolam, according to the second interpretation, afilu, even if indeed I will have a good life, afilu esmach b'toivas olam hazeh kol yomai ad yom ha'misa, lo esmach b'olam ha'bo shuhu achar ha'misa v'hu a'akei. Vai, shusoif ha-maisa, ki ein ha-maisa v'das bo'ilam ha-bo. Okay, so he's saying over here something very interesting. Let's clarify. According to the first interpretation, he's telling us something which appears to be not true for everyone. There are some people in this world who pursue wealth for its own sake and have a very good life. And they die a very happy person. So then what the Malum said is not true. The Radak said it's not true. According to the Radak's first interpretation is, the Radak says, if a person pursues wealth for its own sake, and he lives his whole life, money, 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 and what's the end? He's now 120 years old. He's lying on his deathbed. He's giving you a prediction. You can have nothing. You're not going to have a family. All you're going to have are bodyguards protecting you from people trying to steal your money. And all collectors are going to come bother you for your money, and you're going to have just pain, aggravation from the nonsense that you led your life of money, 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 money. That's this first interpretation. We're not even discussing the next world. He's telling you a rule in life. If you're going to live a life to pursue wealth, by the time you get to old age, you will be a miserable person. That's one interpretation. Now go out into the laboratory and test this. Go out into the laboratory. Is that really true? Test this in the laboratory. People who live their entire life pursuing money, is it really true when they die, they're miserable? Who says?
No one came back and told us.
Who's no? Not, not, don't have to come back. We don't have to. No, that's the second shot. We're not to Olam Haba. We're talking about this world. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the first parish. That will come. We're reviewing the parish. The first parish is telling us a good advice to how to live your life. If you're going to pursue money for its own sake, by the time you're 120 years old, you will be miserable. Really? Let's test. Let's go to the nursing homes. Let's go to the senior citizen centers of the world and speak to people who pursued wealth for its own sake. Anyone that pursued wealth for their own sake is not downstairs, Rabbi Isaiah. They're not here. Okay? So anyone that pursued wealth for its own sake, go to these resorts where all these rich people go to die, these moguls, and ask them, tell me, are you miserable?
Wait till right before they die.
I don't think we have to wait until are you miserable? I don't know. The Radak's first interpretation of the pasuk is they are miserable.
Some of them?
They are miserable. But let's say you're going to find some people who are not miserable. They're on the golf course, 120 years old. Their whole life was money, money, money. Here they are, 120 years old, they're on the golf course. And they seem to be very happy.
And that defines happiness?
Made for them, yeah. Why not? Why not? It's a matter of what makes you happy. They're very happy. They're very happy. Why? Ask them. They're very happy. So the Radak says, you're right. For those, this is not going to work for everyone. My first interpretation may not work for everyone in the laboratory of this world. And for those people that you do find in this world that they pursue wealth for its own sake, and they seem to be very happy at the end of their lives. But then I have another interpretation, that the Akevai is not this world. It means the next world. The next world. What are they going to have for themselves in the next world? If every day of their life it's all about money, 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 and not about anyone else but themselves and Hashem, then when they come to the next world, what are they going to take with them? So he's giving you two interpretations, and obviously...
By the way, if I may, he mentions for the next world is Schar V'Yonish, not Rehab. Schar V'Yonish.
Okay, well, Gehenim is Rehab. Okay, you're right. That's not...
V'Yonish, yeah.
Okay, fine.
Okay. It's not Yonish. You know, is the Gehenim part is the Yonish.
He's giving us two different approaches, and obviously, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. All right.
Rabbi,
yeah.
If these rich people bezel themselves in a lot of money in this world, why you doubting that the other world?
No. As we said so many times, I'm talking about attitude. I'm talking about a person that's not giving tzedakah. That doesn't daven, doesn't learn, doesn't care. We said this many times. Obviously, the goal is to make money. That's the goal. Everyone has to make a parnasa. Everyone has to make money. It's not possible in the modern world today to have enough money. Not possible. It's not possible. Everyone, they have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. That Baruch Hashem. Tzorchei amcha Yisrael mirubim. Okay, people can't retire. That's the way it is. So we're not talking about... we're talking about attitude. Everyone has to. That's the way the world is. You work, you pursue.
The first shot of what you say, he's worried about money from the beginning to end. He's not like that, where he's also doing good in his money. His whole
attitude is money. 100%.
How are you?
Money. That's right. Of course, we said it so many times. This is not a practical mizmar. There's nothing to take out of this practically. Okay, I'm going to retire. Chas v'shalom. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking over here about the pursuit of wealth, but with an attitude that this is not what it's all about. This is something that we do. We may enjoy it. It may be very good, and we can use it as a tool, but this is not what it all is about. It's nothing more than attitude. All right, I'll take a short break. Let's take a short break.